you take your Bibles, please. And we're in the saddle early tonight, so that means I get to preach a long time. No, that does not mean that. That means we kind of get out a little bit early. And all God's people said, amen. Nothing. We don't come to church to see how fast we can get out, but we're not just trying to waste God's time. In fact, the Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil. So if we can have a little bit of fellowship time after church and encouraging one another and what God says in his word, that'd be a great blessing. Psalm 119, verse 89, if you turn with us in your Bible, please. When I was little, my parents got for me, I don't know if it was someone else or not, but I had a little toy, and it was a wind-up Fisher-Price clock. It had big red hands. The face of the clock would turn around, and it had little dun 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 dun. And I would go to sleep with that. I would wind it up, and if it was nap time, I'd go to nap time with that, and it would. It was kind of a security type of thing, and I played with that and played with that until I got too old to play with those kinds of toys. I never knew what happened to it until I was downstairs in my parents' house after my firstborn came along, and I saw this Fisher-Price clock. And I wound it up, and it still worked. I said, Mom, would you mind if I take this home? And she said, oh, sure, that'd be great. And so it went through my three children and all of them, and they played with it. And then didn't see it again for a long, long time. And then grandkids came along. It's amazing. That old clock came back out again. And, you know, you would think that sometimes some of those things will last forever. But even Fisher-Price toys don't last forever. And there are things that you buy that you would like to think, for instance, a car or something. You think, this is the last car that I ever want to buy. And how many of you have ever said that? You know, the last car I ever want to buy. It costs way too much money. I'll never going to buy another car again. But cars don't last. Houses don't last. Our body does not last. It starts falling apart. Things start falling off of it. You're falling out of it. You know, we start losing teeth, and we have little going away service for our hair as it goes down the shower and all kinds of stuff. But there are some things that last forever. There are some things. And I hope that you have a copy of your precious, of your copy of the precious Word of God, the inspired Word of God, because the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Something that lasts forever, you're holding a copy of it in your hands. Amen. The precious, holy Word of God. Now, just because a particular Bible begins to wear, and by the way, have you ever seen someone with a Bible that's falling apart? Usually, a Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone who is not falling apart, especially spiritually in every important way and things. So we will wear out the Bible that we have as far as leather binding and as far as pages and all that. We may have to replace our copy of the Word of God, but my friend, God's Word abideth forever. Something that lasts forever. Now, if I could, let me just get some help here tonight, if I may. Some of you may have what people have referred to as a life verse. Something that you have chosen as a life verse. Some of you might call it just, it is my favorite verse in all the Bible. And if you have one of those verses on your heart and mind that's kind of, I always, if I ever sign something for someone of a spiritual nature or whatever like that, I'll sign my name and then I'll sign Matthew 5:16 underneath it. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is a life goal of mine. It's something I will never achieve, but it's always something I can work towards, always a goal I can always pursue. And so that's one of my favorite verses and a verse that I've chosen as my life verse. How about you? How about you? Yes. Amen. Psalm 26, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God.
Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. All thy ways
Amen. Amen. Good. Somebody else. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Yes.
Psalm 40, verse 3, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord.
Amen. That's right. Chris.
1 John 4:4, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world.
Amen. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Brother Paul.
Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose.
Amen. Romans 8:28. Boy, these are good ones. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
3 John 4, I have no greater joy.
Yeah, than my children.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth.
Amen. 3 John 4. Amen. Good, good. Yes, sir. Don. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Brother Paul.
Yeah, my life verse, Psalms 119:25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quickeneth me according to thy word.
Amen. Quicken me according to thy word. That's where the strength is. Where the life is in the word of God. Now, the word of God answers mankind's 6 greatest questions. I'll just give this to you very briefly. We're just getting started here, but this is just by way of introduction. Mankind has 6 great questions. Who, what, when, where, how, and why? 6 great questions. Here they are. Where the universe began. The Bible tells us where the universe began. The Bible tells us why we are here. The Bible tells us how to remove the guilt of our sin. The Bible tells us what happens after death. The Bible tells us when the universe will come to an end. And the Bible tells us who is in charge of all these things. 6 great questions of all mankind. And the answers are found in the Bible. What you do with the Bible determines to a great extent what God can do with you. What you do with the Bible. And so we're going to look here at the thing that lasts forever is God's holy word. And I'm not talking about the pages, the printing, the leather. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about His holy word is settled forever in heaven. And so I'm so thankful for that. And so therefore, there are 5 things I want to give you here tonight. First of all, we need to hear the Bible. Hear the Bible. This is the very first thing right out of the gate. Hear the Bible. Now, there's hearing and there's listening. The Bible tells us in Revelation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay? Now, gentlemen, we are a walking illustration of this. Did you hear what I said? Our wife will say to us. Did you hear what I said? And we will replay our short-term memory sometimes. And if it did not fail us, we can regurgitate what was said. But we were not paying attention and we were not listening. I believe that's what the Bible is getting at. He that hath ears to hear, if you're not deaf, then you better not just hear, you better listen and pay attention to what the Bible says, to what God says, what God's word tells us. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear the word. Whether it is hearing it as we're reading it with our eyes, we're hearing it as it's taught, hearing it as it's preached, declared, we need to pay attention to what the Word of God says. And that is why I will from time to time, and it's good to see our young people in here, good to see boys and girls in here. Boy, it's great to see you. And I pay attention because I'm going to see if some of you can help me in just a few minutes. But hearing the Word of God is important. And I will sometimes, usually I don't have to call down children. I usually, if I have to call down anyone, it's usually teenagers. Sometimes it may be adults. I don't know. I've had to do that a time or two. That's a little embarrassing. But I do that for our good, for everyone's good, for their good, and those around, so that we can listen and pay attention to the Word of God. I've asked people sometimes about their listening, and they said, you know, sometimes some of you have told me this very same thing. You've said, you know, I like to sit towards the front because there's fewer distractions, fewer people, you know, in the way and that kind of thing, hearing the Bible. Number two, not just hear the Word of God, but we're to trust the Bible. Trust the Bible. Now, right out of the gate, you can trust God's Word. You can, if you don't understand it, I'm here to tell you, you can trust it. Now, there's a lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things about my car, I do not understand. A lot of things about electricity, I don't understand. A lot of things about this world, I do not understand. And there's a lot of things about the Bible I do not understand. But I can still trust it. Folks, the Word of God has unparalleled unity. The Lord used over 40 authors to pen the Word of God, to write the Word of God. He inspired them. And over a period of hundreds of years, centuries, on different continents, and yet each and every time the Word of God is completely unparalleled in its unity. And that is the lost condition of man, the plan of redemption of God, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All throughout Scripture, you can see that theme all throughout the Word of God. And there's no way that they could have compared notes and all those kinds of things. It's just amazing how God, the one who inspired, the breathed the Word, and the Bible says that the word inspired, by the way, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means this. It means breathed. In the sense that if I don't have breath coming through my body, you would not hear me enunciate words. Okay? I could go like this. Okay? Now, there was no air that came through that activated those vocal cords. But if I were to have air going through, then I would have said, you would have heard me say, the Bible says Jesus loves everyone. You'd have heard me say that, that God loves everyone. Now, so in essence, in a very clear and literal way, God spoke his word and the people wrote down his word. Now, you might say, well, that sounds like dictation. Why is it then that everyone had a different style, different flair? Brother Bob Duggar, he directs our orchestra. And I don't see too many instruments. I see a French horn down here. I don't see a lot of other instruments. But if I ask Brother Bob, he's very talented, and he could probably pick up several instruments and play for us. And if I asked him to play the same note on a clarinet as on a French horn and as on a tuba, and if he played the same note on each one, each one would be the same note, but they would sound a little differently. But you see, he still is playing the same note. It's just coming out with a different flavor. And you see, God is the one who breathed his word and breathed the truth, and he breathed it through different individuals. And so, yes, it's going to have a different flair, different flavor, but it's his holy word. We can trust the Bible. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There are facts about God's word we need to know. In our children's ministries, I don't know, does any of our children, Brother Jeff, in the Patch of the Pirate Clubs, do y'all still memorize the books of the Bible?
We're working on it now.
Working on it now. Amen. Glad to hear that. You know, if someone says, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ezekiel, would you know where to start looking? How about Habakkuk? How about Philemon? You know, would you know where to look? There are certain facts of the Bible. As a Christian, we should study and we should know things about the Bible and hide those facts. We can trust the Word of God. Let's hasten now. Do you have them? Hear the Bible. Trust the Bible. And number three, believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. Now, there's one thing about trusting it. There's another thing about having faith in it. putting your faith and your belief in what God has said. There's a mental agreement, and there is, we just sang about it, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Our belief, our strength, is our faith in His Word. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, God does not tell us everything about the Bible. Just when you think you have a verse all figured out, God's going to show you something marvelous that you missed. It might be in a pronoun. It might be in a verb. It might be in the context. It might be something special that you missed when you studied it for the past 30 minutes and you came back and God showed you something new and fresh. That's because it's a living book. It is God's holy word. It's a love letter written to God, written from God to you. Hebrews 11:6 tells us it's impossible to please God without our faith in Him. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is our direction. You say, well, how does God direct us? God directs us spiritually. He directs us morally. He directs us mentally. He directs us physically. There are things about our bodies and our life physically that God has told, and He told the children of Israel, and it's still true today. Thy word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Believe the Bible. Hear the Bible, trust the Bible, believe the Bible. Number four, obey. We don't like that word, but obey the Bible. Obey God's word. It's not the suggestions, it's the commandments. It's not if it pleases you, it's the precepts of God's word. Follow His word. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're spiritual. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're going the right way. Whenever we hear the word of God, now this is a danger. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. I attended 6 years of public school. I attended 6 years of Christian school. Okay? I know what it's like to be in a public school back in my day. Don't know what it's like to be in a public school today in this generation. But in my day, in fourth grade and fifth grade, there are things that I was exposed to that I just assumed that I had never been exposed to as a growing up boy. Language and all kinds of terrible things that happened in elementary school. May I tell you today that a Christian school is not the overall perfect answer to a Christian growing up to be a teenager that will follow God. Now, there's a lot of wonderful truth. God honors His word. We memorize Scripture and hide in our hearts. I remember in sixth grade we had to memorize the first 15 verses of John chapter 15. that was in sixth grade. You know, I attended partially halfway through the sixth grade, or partially through the sixth grade in public school, and then transferred. And in sixth grade there. But I later on, when I was in junior high and senior high, there were young people that did not have a heart's desire to serve God. And they would attend Bible class, and they would not have an open heart to God and His Word. And they would criticize, they'd make fun of the preacher. They'd criticize, they'd make fun of the teachers. They would tear down everything and anything they possibly could. And behind people's back, they would. And here's what I saw happen. And the same thing had happened in churches across America. That the Word of God, instead of melting a heart that's surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, it can harden a heart that is rebellious to Jesus Christ. And so when you come into the church house, Whenever you open the Word of God for your devotions, make sure that you have a heart that says, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to follow you. You show me the way. You show me your path. And by your grace and by your strength, I will do it. That God will bless. God will bless that. So moms and dads, please don't think that you can just push your children into a Christian school and think that that will just fix everything. No, no, no. I'm thankful for the blessing of Christian education. And a lot of the things that I'm able to produce from my heart of God's word and training, I learned in a Christian school. But just because you're in an independent, fundamental Bible-believing church does not mean that you're going to obey God. You have to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to direct my life. I want you to guide me by your word. I want to obey you. Believe the Bible, obey the Bible, and last, grow in the Bible. Grow in the Bible. Dig in. There should be a growth process. There should be fruit as we grow in the Lord. You know, sad to say, if God put us in Sunday school classes based on our spiritual maturity, what class would we be in? There are some Christians who never grew up spiritually. They have not put their faith and their belief in what the Word of God says. They will not obey the Word of God. They hear it, they deceive themselves, and they go out the same way. And so spiritually, they're just still little babes in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in grace. It is a command. It's a command. So, perhaps this year, wouldn't it be a good thing to set some goals? To grow. I mean, we'll set some goals about nutrition. Undoubtedly, we'll set some goals about exercise. Undoubtedly, we'll set some goals for things we want to do with our children, our families, and these kind of things. All that's good. How about setting some goals with the Word of God? Something that you have never done before. Whether it's read the Bible all the way through, whether it's try to memorize a verse of Scripture every week, you say, well, that's not a big challenge. Well, did you memorize 52 verses last year? One a week is 52 verses. That'd be a great thing. 52 new verses that you did not know. That'd be a good goal. To grow in the Word of God. I've got a picture here. A little babe in diapers. Teenager. It's kind of growing. And then a servant of God wearing the armor of Jesus Christ. Say, why do you need armor? Because there's going to be attack from without, and there's going to be attack from within. Say, well, does that ever happen? Sure it does. It does. Satan manipulates and orchestrates things to produce friendly fire. And sometimes we can take on the outside world, and we can take on the attack of the lost and the unsaved and all that kind of thing, and then we walk in the doors of the church, and we set our armor down, and we think, boy, it's wonderful. We'll set our armor down when we get to heaven. Okay? Please, just go ahead and keep your armor on in church. Just keep your armor on. Because there might be some thoughtless statement that someone makes. They don't really even think about how it comes out. And it comes out sideways. That's happened to me many times. Things coming out of my mouth sideways, you know, and I didn't really think about it. And I wasn't listening to the Lord. I just, you know, it popped in my head and it sprang out of my mouth. Shame on me. Those kinds of things can be devastating to people. It can be. Make sure that you don't misunderstand someone when they're speaking. Make sure that you understand what it is that they're saying and ask them questions. And it might be that they did not mean to say what they said. Just like that thing about Christian education. If I had my way, if I had the ability to do it financially, I would make Christian education available to every child in this church. Every young person in this church. Somehow, some way. I would, because I know how expensive it is. I know the sacrifice that it is. And I believe in it. Homeschool, I believe in it. And I thank God for it. And our children were homeschooled and all of that, but and in Christian school. But I did want to give that caveat. I wanted to make sure you understand that that is not what determines whether a young person is going to serve God or not. It has to be their decision. Okay, so I want to make sure you understood that. So bringing this together, if you're going to this year in 2019, if the Word of God is going to make a difference in your life, if you're going to hear it, listen to it, if you're going to trust it, if you're going to believe it, if you're going to obey it, and you're going to grow in it, if you're going to do all five of those things, then that means that you're going to have to make the Bible, God's Word, a priority in your life. I am preaching to the choir right here. It's Thursday night during the, quote, holidays. And here you are. You're already making the Word of God a priority. Moms and dads, you've got children right here with you. Right here with you. And may I tell you today that this is going to have an effect on them. That they have been sitting here with mom, and hopefully, what a blessing to be sitting with mom and dad, or mom or dad. Parents are here. That has an impact. Let me tell you something. I was dropping off something over to the winds, and here's just a neat thing. Paul, come here. Paul was out front. Come on up here, if you would. Paul was out front there at his house, and they knew I was coming, and he was out there in front of his house, and he went waving like this at me as I pull in. I wave back, and all that kind of thing. I go up and I talk with Brother Ben and Jen, and we're getting ready to leave. And they told me, they said, I noticed there was a lot of things out there in the front part of the yard. And it's a great big mound, and there was this two sticks and like a cross on it and things and all that kind of stuff. And they told me, they said, yeah, Paul has made his own journey through Christmas out there. I left, and as I was going down by there, I stopped and jumped out, and Paul took me around. He said, "Yeah, right here. That's Bethlehem. That's Bethlehem." And he said, "Take me all through. There's a miracle scene right here. Here's a miracle scene," and he had built up. I don't know if he hooved up bunch of dirt, that great big pile. Was that already there? Did you make that there? That was already there. Now, see, you're my kind of guy. You take what's there and you work with it. Okay? And he made that Calvary, you know, and the cross there, Calvary. And he went through the whole journey, you know. And he told me before church tonight, he said, "Well, I didn't do very good with it. This first time, I didn't really do very..." I said, "We didn't do very good with it our first time either." And he told me, he said he had three people in it, workers and stuff like that. I said, "Amen, praise the Lord. That's great." Now, listen, folks, what we do has a greater impact than what we say. And moms and dads, as you are here tonight, as you are serving God, as you are doing anything that you can do, and those little ones are watching and listening, they're not missing a thing. And one day, who knows what God's going to do through your young people, through your grandchildren that you bring with you and have a part in that. Paul, thank you, buddy. I appreciate your work for the Lord. God bless your heart. You must make the Bible a place of priority in your life. The effects you cannot begin to measure. But most of all, you'll be investing in the one thing that you can hold in your hands that will last forever. And God's promised to honor His Word. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted, prosperous, and so on. We try to have blessings and prosper every which way. We try to have family seminars are wonderful. Revival meetings are priceless. But God gave us the key. It's right here. It's right here. You want to be a better husband? It's right here. Don't just study about the husband. Oh, study that. But study about Jesus. Learn about God. And all of a sudden, you're going to have love within you that you haven't had. It's all in his word. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Most important message about this whole thing that we call the Bible. It means the book. It's God's book. It is the book, the Bible. The greatest thing is that it tells us how to come back to God. If there's a boy or a girl, mom or dad, a grandma, grandpa here, and you would say, if I died right now, I do not know that heaven would be my home. Would you turn with repentance to Almighty God? Would you confess your sin? And would you ask him who is holy, to forgive your sin and to save your soul? Would you do it right now? Right now. If you mean it from your heart and you've never asked him to save you before, he'll do it tonight. Would you pray something like this? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for paying for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and my life and save my soul. I'm trusting you, Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's looking. If you would say, preacher, I did pray that prayer for the first time. The first time I really meant it, that was when I prayed it right then, right there. I asked Jesus to save me just then. Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down or rejoice with you? Would you do that today? Yes, preacher, I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to save me just then. Well, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I'm with your family here tonight. Rather be no other place than in your presence with your family. And Lord, I pray now that you would bind us together. Lord, may you bind us together with your holy word. Something that will last forever. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. And Lord, for packaging your word, your voice, in something we can hold in our hands and read and study. May we go now with your blessing. And Lord, as we're ticking off the last few days of 2018, may we magnify you in each of them, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.